You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning, Tri-State. I have an exciting show for you this morning. Please feel free to call in, ask questions. We're going to be talking about women and substance abuse, addiction. We're going to talk about the YWCA today, which has been around for over a decade, helping women that need to get on their feet and learn how to stay clean and sober and live on the main highway. So I don't want to take a lot of time because the guests I have today, three of them, are all experts on women's issues and how to get sober, stay sober, be moms and be in society and try to do the next right thing. So I'm going to first turn it over to Dee Lewis, who's the director of the women's program at the YWCA in Evansville, Indiana, that literally takes women in and cleans them up and continues helping them stay clean and sober and reconnect to good things in life. So I'm going to turn it over to Dee, and then we have Yolanda and my friend Darlene, who are living at the Y, and beautiful examples of recovery and freedom in their eyes. So with no more, don't forget to call in if you want to. I'm not going to talk anymore. I know you might find that hard to believe, but I am going to close my beak and turn it over to Dee, who's the director of the program. Hi, Dee. Thanks for coming.
Good morning. Good morning. Just to give you a little bit about the YWCA, as Lisa said, we've been around for a long time, but we initially came around and started in 1858. The YWCA started and everything.
Wow.
Evansville didn't get their first YWCA to 1911. So we've been around for a long time, and we have always provided services for women. One of the things that we do and have done over the years is that we recognize that society change and the needs for women change. Mm-hmm. So we have gone from just being a place that provides shelter for women that used to come from the rural area that to going to where we provide a domestic violence shelter, emergency housing shelter for women and children. And I actually got the honor to join at the time that we started the recovery program for women. We started in March of 2001.
Wow.
And we started out with 13 beds. So by 2004, we found that we didn't have enough beds, and we weren't getting all the women that we needed to help provide the services and to help the women go from being those who have been looked down upon from society to going back out into society and being the woman that no one remembered that used to be the drunk on the corner. Mm-hmm. So it has been a pleasure for me, and we have actually to this day have served about 300 women, so we're really proud of what we do at the Y. We now provide bed for 24 women. And it looked like we must have a call already.
Oh my gosh, a caller already. Thank you. Are you there? Good morning. Caller, are you there? Okay, I guess not.
Okay. Well then, like Lisa said earlier, we have two of the women with us. This is from the YWCA, Yolanda, and we have Darlene. They're going to tell us a little bit about their self and everything and how they came to the Y and, you know, all those great things about the Y. So we're going to let them
and
tell
all
their
those
self.
Great things about you, Dee. 300 women? How do you do it? You
women.
Don't even have gray hair.
Oh, I got a head full of gray hair. Let's just dye it a little.
Well,
let's
before
do it
we go to them, just tell me, do you think women's issues are more difficult to deal with in recovering from a drug addiction or from an alcohol addiction?
Yes, I do think it's difficult for women to recover from alcohol or drug use. We know that our society already, being a woman, we have that strike against us. And then for us to add something on to what we already carry, being a woman, we have more.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of the household, as we were talking earlier before we came on air, is that the woman has always been the foundation of the home. And, you know, we always had
kind
to...
Kind of the rock.
Yeah. We always had to do it behind closed door, you know, when the husband went off to work or when the children went to school.
So as Yolanda was saying... drinking right from the start.
Yeah. As Yolanda was saying earlier, you know, we sneak and do our stuff.
So right away you feel like a sneak.
Right away you feel like a sneak.
So do you have to deal with a lot of that with the women coming in, just that guilt and shame?
We have that shame. Mm-hmm. We have the low self-esteem. We already, as women, we have a low self-esteem because we have always been looked at, you know, that old saying, I'm from the South, the old saying, you know, a woman is to be barefoot and pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, that's all we were ever taught
raised
back
to
then.
Do. Yeah,
so we already have that.
Yeah. And then add the drink and add the drug and the secret swag. So you think we should hear from the real deal, Yolanda and Darlene?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was interesting you all were saying that as women it is different just because you're put in such a responsible role in the family right off the bat. How dare you take a drink?
How dare I take a drink?
Yeah, or a drug.
You always say when you first take that first drink, who cares if I'm taking a drink? I'm going to drink this drink anyway.
Is that
the
attitude?
2 o'clock, I better stop.
When the kids come home?
2 o'clock, it's over. Until they go to sleep. Until they go to sleep, and then start back up again. And then finally, you're just so far into it, you can't stop. You just don't care anymore. Oh, do what you want, kids. Cook what you want. Here's the money. Do what you want. Do whatever. Mm-hmm. I got to do what I got to do, and I'll be back. And sometimes you don't come back for 2 or 3 days.
So, Yolanda, did you know this was happening to you, that this monkey on your back was...
I knew it, and I just didn't care because I had it so down pat where I took care of my kids. My kids didn't see what I did, you know. But I was trying to reach out, but I didn't know where. Who can I reach to for help?
Who are you going to talk to?
Yeah, who I'm going to run to
right.
for help. So I just kept doing what I needed to do to keep me calm.
Just numb out.
Yeah, but I never did leave my kids alone. I never did leave them without anything, you know. The only time I left them is when I finally got caught.
Yeah.
When I got caught, that was the best thing for me, you know.
What happened?
The first time I got caught, I went to prison.
What were you caught with?
I was caught with crack cocaine.
Is crack cocaine the methamphetamine of the black community?
Yes.
Because I'm telling you,
yes,
what,
it is.
This crack cocaine. Yeah, everybody I've talked to on Radio Rehab and just in my work in the field, the crack cocaine is incredible in the black community.
It's a disease that it's uncontrollable.
Yeah.
You know, once it gets you, it has you.
Did it start out with you with pot and alcohol?
Oh, first thing I started out was pot.
Yep.
Yeah. I started smoking pot when I was 10 years old.
10?
Yes.
That's fifth grade. What kind of buzz are you needing in fifth grade?
I don't know, but it was a good one.
We want to be very honest on Radio Rehab. Please call for more honesty. And you liked the buzz already at 10 years old.
You know, I experienced alcohol, like, when the family would have parties, they would leave their beer cans.
Mm-hmm. You too,
dear. Or we'd go in the refrigerator. I'd tell my girlfriend, I'm going to get a beer, girl. I'll be right back. And get that beer and go in my room. Mom, dad, and family's having fun. They ain't thinking about us. They think we're getting the pops out or the juice or getting something to eat. But we'll sneak a can of beer and go in the bedroom or out in the garage or go down the street.
So do you, Darlene, or Yolanda, think all kids are experimenting like that?
Oh, yes.
You think they all are? Ooh.
I do believe they are. They experiment.
Yeah. They're checking it out.
I have seen on occasion that my granddaughter has seen a can of beer and she said, I want to taste it. I said, you really want to taste it? Do you want to act like them? Do you want to be like? She said, no, I ain't going to act like that. I said, you never know until you taste it. You want to taste it?
Like Russian roulette.
Yeah. I said, do you want to taste this and act like them over there? She said, no.
Aww.
Is it any good? I said, you want to taste it?
So with you, in our society, do you think it's okay with parents that kids taste booze, but boy, they better not smoke pot or take illicit drugs, illegal drugs? Or
no, I don't think so. I think most parents should right now be talking to their kids right now. I don't care if they're 5 years old.
You do?
I think that communication about everything that's happening around here, they see it on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Why was he driving drunk? Why was she driving drunk? Why did she do this? Why did he do this? They see that. And I start asking questions. So I think right now, this is the certain age. When they start asking that why and what and where, that's when you start talking about everything.
Wow.
But I have to break it down to their level, though.
Right, age appropriate.
You know, it's certain words and certain things you can't say. Like, you know, it's certain things. But break it down to their level where they can understand.
That's good.
Because once you do that, they'll understand.
Mm-hmm. So parents need to talk about it.
Yes. The sooner the better, I think.
Did you all hear Aunt Joy when she was on here a couple weeks ago? She said the same thing. Parents need to start talking to their kids about it, age appropriately. But even yet, when you talk to them about it, you guys are also saying they're going to try.
They're curious. Yeah, they're going to try it. Yeah.
So did you try it young, Darlene? You were older, weren't you, when you...
Right. I didn't grow up in a home that had believed in alcohol or drugs. So it wasn't until I left home, and I was 20 years old before I first had my first drink. And it was a couple of years after that before I actually got in to drink. I was just an alcoholic. Alcoholic.
A slow starter.
A slow starter because I wasn't raised with it. I didn't know what was going on, and I had the fear of God and my family in me, you know. But once I did, it's a disease. Once I started drinking, it was a progressive, a horrendous thing. It just, for the next 12 years, I was a total alcoholic. And I was like Yolanda was saying, I did it. I got my kids to school, you know, got them off to school, and then drank. Very functional alcoholic. There was even times in there I worked, and I didn't drink at work, but the minute I got off, it was on, you know. And you're right. I guess that's one of the things I was talked to when I was living at home, when I was growing up. This is just something we didn't do. And if you start early enough, it's like with disciplining your kids. You can't wait till they're 10 or 12 years old and start trying to discipline, trying to tell them no.
Right.
It's something that has to be started at a very early age. And maybe it'll work, and maybe it won't.
Well, it sounds like that didn't make a difference with you.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe it'll work, and maybe it won't. You don't have to come from an alcoholic family or a drug-addicted family. Our disease has no boundaries. Mm-hmm. It hits when it hits.
Yes.
You know? And the only thing to help that is when we've had enough and we ourselves decide, I want to stop.
What made you two decide you'd had enough? Real quick before break, what was your surrender point?
The second time I went back to prison. The second back to prison, that did it right there. I said, I can't keep on living like that.
How long were you in prison?
The first time I did 3.5 years.
My God.
Yes, I did 3.5 years, and the second time I did 1.5 years.
So does prison make a difference? Does it rehabilitate
people?
No,
it doesn't really make a difference. It just
pauses.
It gives you a lot, It gives you a time to think. And when I first got there, they told me I couldn't do this. I couldn't go to, I couldn't get AA. I couldn't do NA. I couldn't get substance abuse class. I said, then what the heck am I here for? To do time, working out dirty kitchen, you know. I said, I come here to get some help. My judge told me I had to come and get some help.
Right.
And I couldn't get in it. They said, I had too much time. You can't do it. You got too much time.
Wow. So while you were in there, you really thought
about
a life without it.
And then I got with other ladies that we just took up on ourselves to do a meeting in the library room ourselves.
Awesome.
So that's how I got started. And then I signed up for NA. And then they changed it back in 2007 that you can come to NA and AA meetings, but if you don't show up for 3 times, you get kicked out.
Forget
so I got on in there.
What prison were you in?
Rockville.
My goodness. That's got to be hard.
Yeah, it was kind of hard. I first got there, I thought it was a college campus because it just looked like a college campus.
Yeah.
You just couldn't leave.
Like a little university with bars around it.
Just couldn't leave. Mm. So it wasn't really hard. It was just, the hardest thing about it was being away from my family.
Sure.
And other than that, I could have done the time.
Yeah.
Easily, because there's a lot of things. You go to school, you have activities, you know, it's not
But
bad.
Somewhere in there, you made the decision to clean up your
life.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. That's like I got punched in my side one night when I was sleeping. I said, who in the heck is up there hitting on me on my bed? And I'm looking around, everybody was asleep. And it was, I think it was God. He was talking to me.
Wake up.
Wake up.
And you did.
And I woke up.
How about you, Darlene? What was your
Well, so. After 12 years of drinking, I did go into rehab, and I had like 7 years of good living.
Sobriety.
Very good sobriety. But I relapsed. I relapsed, and it just was worse than it was before. And I stayed out for 6 years. And what brought me in was God spoke to me. Something spoke to me, and I like to call it God. Something spoke to me. My daughter was raised in that. I had grandchildren, and I didn't want them to know that.
Yeah.
I didn't want them to know what my daughter had seen.
You wanted to change your image.
It wasn't until I decided I wanted this that it actually happened.
Wow.
And I went willingly to rehab.
So you had to make up your mind.
Oh.
A very, very fierce decision.
Oh, yes.
When we get back from break, I want to hear more about how life has been since you've made that decision. Maybe we could talk a little more about relapse, maybe get some of Dee's professional opinions too about women and relapse. So don't go away, Radio Rehab. We will be right back after our break with Darlene, Yolanda, and Dee from the YWCA.
Hey, you. Yeah, you're listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
Now you can get the furniture, appliances, electronics, and computers you really want and leave your money at home. Only with Rent-A-Center's free until February 7th event. It's brand name merchandise with no credit checks, no credit needed, and no money down. So forget your wallet and forget your purse. But don't forget, it's free until February 7th. Only at Rent-A-Center. We make it easy to make it your own. This is a rental purchase transaction. Offer ends February 7, 2009. Excludes TVs 37 inches or larger. See store for details.
Healthy lips should never go naked. So, are you going to slip on ChapStick Moisturizer? It's made of 10 moisturizers, so it feels light and smooth and ultra hydrating. Or there's something completely new for you to put on. It's new ChapStick True Shimmer with shimmering highlights to give lips a beautiful, radiant shine every time you put it on. So if you want lips to look and feel healthy, never let your lips go naked. Always wear ChapStick. Use as directed.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back, and thank you for calling in. We'll get to your questions and answers here right away. Dee, what are some of the challenges you see with women coming out of prison and rehab that want to stay clean and sober, and how do you deal with relapse? What are some of the things you've seen through the years that are definite patterns that we need to address and be aware of?
When someone's coming out of prison and everything, whether they're coming out of prison or whether they're coming out of Vandenberg County Jail, there's really no difference. The difference is the time they've served. Society itself makes it harder on my women that are coming from these areas and everything. We go out for jobs and everything. They look at their backgrounds. If the number one question that an employer put on an application, do you have a felony? Oh, let's check that box, everybody. And the first thing they're going to do when we all know they throw that application in the trash.
Yeah.
You can't tell me you don't take that application out of the trash. No one will take the time to see what that felony is. And if my women go in and they don't disclose that they have a felony and they run a background check on them, well, they're gone.
Yeah.
They don't care why you have a felony. But We also say that, as Yolanda was saying, we're going to send them. They're going to go do their time. But when they're doing their time, we do nothing to help them.
Yeah.
Okay, she go do her time. She's done everything. She's taken classes in school while she's in prison and everything. She comes out, she knows more than she did when she went in. Mm-hmm. Are we going to give her a chance? Oh, no. The first time she checks, she has a felony. Nobody cares. That's one of the obstacles that we fall into when we're working with the women. Another thing, too, is that the self-esteem is so beat down that they don't think they're worth anything. And for someone to think they're not worth anything, then they don't think they have anything to give or to offer.
So you deal with a lot of depression.
A lot of depression. A lot of depression. And a lot
of
reasons.
So they get sober and get depressed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of times the reason why they started using was they were self-medicating.
Right.
And that's why they used.
So you try to definitely understand where they're coming from and educate them and build them up. How do you deal with them when they relapse? Is it pretty individualized?
It's pretty individualized. We have some women that go through the program that never relapse.
Yes.
And then we have some that do relapse.
Why do you think that is? Any ideas in your own little heart of opinions?
It's hard to say. I mean...
Yeah, I've wondered over the years. It seems relationships, romantic entanglements play a big role.
Oh, yes. And let's face it, AA and NA is a very good fellowship to go into, mm-hmm. but some people go into those fellowships for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
We have 13 steps. We all, the 13 stepper, we all know who they are. And they prey upon young recovery people coming in.
And the girls know how to play that game, too.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
We're all
Let's
looking for a good sugar daddy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're always looking for somebody to give us what we didn't have or what we need right now. One of the things that we try so hard is to work at letting them know that they are worth something. You know,
Definitely.
You do have something to give. No matter what you think your skills are, you have skills. You've survived.
Yes.
And that takes a skill itself is to survive.
So you build them up. You start with the strengths perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't see an addict. I see a woman
see
in front
Yolanda,
of me.
You see Yolanda. Oh,
I see Yolanda. Yes. I see Darlene. It doesn't matter what they have done in the past.
Can you guys handle being loved that way?
Yeah.
A lot of times it's the only way you can survive is what you get at the Y. What is offered at the Y, if you want this bad enough, you will take it.
Yeah. Are the women that way toward each other there? Because women can tear each other apart.
Well,
we
have some that do, some that don't, but then...
Gotta stick with the winners.
They gotta stick with it. If they don't, then who else you gonna stick with? The people that's been downing you all this time, telling you, come on, girl, you can do this.
Yes.
And then there you are again.
Sneaking again.
That's sneaking.
So do you think the Y provides a new family to give you positive affirmations and build you back up like infancy?
Back where you need to be, where you should have been. It's not gonna cure you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do the footwork.
You got to do all that. But it's going to help.
But you two seem like strong, confident women to me.
Well, I come from a big family. My mom had 12 kids.
Whoa. So that's two carloads. My God.
My
you didn't need to go to a group. You had one. Right?
It's your own living room. You're going to fight? Are you going to sit over in the corner and cry? Or are you going to
You learned to deal with people.
I deal with a lot.
Were you the middle?
I'm number 11.
Goodness. The baby.
Close to it. Yeah, I got one more.
How does your family deal with your
right
addiction?
Now, they like where I'm at because I was very close person. I never did tell them that my mom, I couldn't do no wrong with her eyes.
Aww.
You know, that's my baby. Oh, she's right. Not doing that stuff. She ain't, no.
Sounds like everybody
look at her.
She
looks good, house clean and stuff. Oh, no.
Not my baby. Which makes it harder for you.
Yeah, it makes it harder for me because I can get away with anything with mom. But me, I was like the head. If you needed something, I would get it.
You were the little hero.
Yeah. Oh, Lonnie, somebody broke into my house and stole my TV. Oh, I'll get you a TV. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. You know, something.
You took care of everybody.
I took care of them, yeah.
Okay. You were that way too, weren't you, darling?
It was
the caretaker.
No one would take care of me when it was time to take care of me. I'm reaching out to somebody. I'm trying to reach out to you. Please come and help me.
But that when you put out that you're a strong woman and you take care of everybody else and you have it all together, where do you go to ask for help?
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't get
sick. I could never get sick in the
house. How do y'all deal with that now, letting people know when you need them and you need help? Does Dee, did you learn that at the Y, to ask for help? Let people know when you're hurting?
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard when you've been the person, the caregiver, the caretaker. It's hard to ask somebody else because at first, when I first came in the Y, and I was like that, it was like everybody depends on me. Everybody comes to me for something.
Sure.
And when it was time for me to go, who am I supposed to go to? Okay. You know, it's a trust issue, too. Women, you get this many women into one place, and nobody, you know, you have to learn who to trust. Women don't want to trust women.
Right.
You know, at all.
It's always been like that. Women don't trust women.
Whether you're
in a bunch of women in the addiction world. Prison into the why. I've never hung around women. I always hung around men.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Definitely.
Because you didn't have to
seven brothers.
So. You didn't have to compete with hanging around men, and they could be your friends.
Yeah.
But with women, you have to compete.
Wow, so living at the Y was a challenge.
No,
you had to want to stay clean and sober to go live with a bunch of women.
Exactly.
And now I got a couple people at the Y that looks up to me. So
sure.
That
builds
your self-esteem.
Yeah, you know. You're a winner.
I am somebody.
Yeah.
I am worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And I'll go back to the Y doing that.
And the Y, Dee lets you all pretty much manage the program yourself. She tries not to get too involved.
To a point, you know. It's like we're like kids, so you can give a kid too much and they'll take.
Oh, you need a manager, definitely. But
the Y brings, it gives you structure.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you responsibility. It teaches us how to take care of our business,
us first.
You know, right. We're first.
Self-caring.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's different than self-centered.
It has to be me first
self-caring.
Now. It's all about me right now.
Absolutely.
And my kids understand that. They said we should have understood it a long time ago.
Well.
You know, but they didn't. They're young.
That's right.
Mama's cool. She's cool. Look at her. She's working and everything, doing what she need to do. But I'm hurting, too. But when I would tell them that, oh, Mom, it's okay, it's always pet me. It's okay.
Are you all educating your children and family? Indeed, do you encourage family involvement here and that you help them all understand you have a fatal chronic disease?
Yes.
They understand. They accept everything that I'm doing. And they I had to help them sometimes.
Sure.
You know.
Educate them about it.
I had to tell them about exactly what I'm doing.
Sure.
So if they wanted to do it too, they could. I said it didn't have to be for drugs and alcohol. It could be for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can gamble sex. It could be just that you're just tired and you need a break away from whatever you're doing. You know, that fast life, that fast living, that young, glorious life. You know, you need to get away from that.
That excitement.
Yeah, the excitement.
Addicted to that excitement.
Mm-hmm. Getting dressed up every week.
So women need to be excited too?
Oh yeah, we need to get excited.
Not just men.
And age has nothing to do with it.
No, just urge, not age.
Exactly. I can start at a young age.
Yes. At 10, you're smoking pot, getting the buzz. You were 20. Wow.
So see, there was no difference.
But once you get addicted, it's the same, isn't it? It's a dead end.
Mine was
it was a more of a, oh, girl, let's just smoke this and be done with it. Play around thing. It wasn't like an everyday thing. I had to have it every day. It's just that when my certain friends, brother, they find it in their pockets or in their room, just get it.
And you do it. So, Dee, how do you decide to bring in a Yolanda or a Darlene? What, as a director, goes into you making a decision on whether a woman can come? And could a woman, if she hears this show today, call you to see about getting into the Y?
Yeah, all you have to do is call the YWCA. We're in the phone book, or you can
422-1191.
Oh, yeah, it's an easy number to remember. We have an application process. You have to fill out an application, and we'll bring you in. The first thing I try to do is I try to show you the rules, because that's the number one thing that a lot of people have problems with.
Getting us on that main highway again.
So we try to show you what we actually try to achieve. And by showing you the rules, we're like, okay, this is what we're going to ask you to do. We do ask you to commit to an 8-month program. We used to be 6 months, but the average stay is usually about 8 months. So we ask you to commit to
That's
this.
That's a commitment.
Mm-hmm. And we actually have you sign a contract with us. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that you're going to do, and these are the things that we're going to help you do. We sit down and go over those things. I guess we try to make sure that you're comfortable with what we're asking you to do. Yeah, the number one thing we tell you is that we're going to test you. And a lot of people say, why do you test your women and everything? Well,
don't you trust them?
Oh, yeah, I trust all my women.
Why do you have to test them? Yeah, we get that too. Why do you drug test me? Don't you trust me? Yeah, just don't trust the disease.
Yeah, and the reason why is one more thing that you have to hold them accountable for. And if you're holding somebody accountable for something, then that helps them when they're walking down the street and they run into an old friend that, hey, I got some, don't you want some? They know that when they come back to that building, there's a very good chance that they're going to be dropped or they're going to be brothelized. Mm-hmm. And they do not want to jeopardize where they're staying at because it's their safe haven.
Right. Okay. Absolutely.
Although, like we said earlier, you put a whole bunch of women in one place, you're going to have a conflict. You know, women are drama. I'm going to tell you, we are drama. We love drama. But in the process of saying that, too, we also are very nurturing people.
Yes.
So we try our best to let you know what we're all about. This is what we're going to try to do. This is what we're going to try to help you do and everything.
No hidden agendas.
No hidden agenda.
You come in, this is what you're getting.
This is what you're getting. This is what you're getting. We are not a treatment facility. We are a housing facility that provide the safe haven. We do make sure you go to treatment because we're going to give you those bus tokens. I have driven women to treatment.
Yes.
I mean, we're going
to
make sure you get there.
You've driven them to drug court.
Oh, I've driven them to drug court. I mean, I go wherever.
D.
So,
D is everywhere. You all better watch out.
Oh, you know.
Her eyes are everywhere.
And like you said, the AANA meeting. We have some women that can get sidetracked. They're going to say they're going to AA meeting, they're going to NA meeting. Well, let's face it. Everybody know I'm a pop-in person. I will go to a meeting and make sure my women are there.
Yes.
The only bad thing about that is that I'm becoming well-known that when I walk in, everybody's like, hey, D, so. that kind of ruined
it. You're a, what do you call that, an honorary member?
And it's, I can dress down, put on baseball caps, and people still hey, D, don't
smile.
I know you? So I try very hard to make sure that my women are on the right track, you know. And by doing that, sometimes I say stuff they don't like.
Sure. Hey, we got to be willing. It's life and death.
I say stuff they don't like. I make them look at certain things, you know. And I have one recently that I knew there was something going on with her. I knew it. By the way she was eating, by the way she was presenting herself, I knew something was going on. And I kept on the probation telling them, hey, something's going on. And finally I called her. She was dirty. Okay, am I putting her out? No way. Was she angry at me? Oh my goodness. The first thing came out of her mouth was, you just don't like me. I said, you know what? It's not about me liking you or you liking me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit by and watch you kill yourself. Mm-hmm. It is my job. It is in my heart. I'm not going to watch you destroy yourself. So if it takes me sending you to jail, I'm going to do it because I'm not going to sit by and watch it happen.
And it does take that community. It takes you all watching and listening and being willing to tell us what you see. Mm-hmm. We need that. We need people to be real with us even though we kick and scream. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Well, here we are at the end of the Radio Rehab Half Hour. Would you all come back?
Yes, oh, sure.
This is just tip of the iceberg.
Oh, sure. No problem.
We will come back and do this again. You all, thank you for listening, for your calls. Where can people find you?
YWCA.
At the YWCA or a lot of 12-step meetings.
Stone meetings.
Okay. All right. Good. And you know where we can find D, 422-1191. Just ask for Mean D.
And you can also find them at the YWCA. They have an in-house AA meeting on Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
Thank you. And you will see
a lot of them there. So it is a women's meeting.
Yeah.
And let's face it, women needs to be at a women's
That's
meeting
right.
because we need to address those issues that we can't address with men around.
That's for sure.
Exactly.
And we don't talk about you men either when we get together.
Nah.
So, right.
There's better topics.
That's right. So 6 o'clock Wednesday night.
At the YWCA, 118 Vine.
There you go. Thank you. Tri-State will be back next Saturday. Until then, don't forget to do the next right thing.